Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I've decided that from now on we're going to have the Catlin kids sing after the message and not before it, because it's really hard to beat that. I did not include your verses in the thing. If you want to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, that's one of the ones that we will be looking at. It's been a pretty wild week for me. I'm just getting old and lazy, and it was hard to keep up. So, the other thing, while you're looking for that, I just wanted to let you know that I am dropping my landline in the house at the end of the month, okay? So we have put our cell numbers in the bulletin, so I have mine and Nancy has hers. So make sure you keep a bulletin if you want to get a hold of me, because otherwise you won't. So I just want to let you know that. So, and before we get started, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day you've given to us. We just thank you for, again, for men and for fathers and for what you've created the man to be. And Father, as we kind of go over this message today and kind of remind men and fathers what kind of a man they should be and how they should be in their homes, I just pray that you would just enlighten our hearts and help us, Father, to be able to live up to what you created us to be. Just be with me this morning as I preach. I pray that you would help me to do so in a way that is understandable. And I just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me for a minute. I have to grab my coffee. So good news anyway. I kind of went over this morning and cut it down from an hour and a half down to an hour or so. Hopefully we can get through it, but there's so much can be said about men and fathers, and you know, every year it's kind of hard. You kind of repeat yourself, because I mean there's only so much you can say and so much you can preach on, but hopefully that I did it a little bit differently this year, and I hope that especially that the men take this to heart. So what we do know is we know that every man was created to be a leader in his own family. Every man is expected to take on the responsibility of leadership in his home. He is to provide for the needs of his family, and he is to protect his wife and children from harm. Every father is given the responsibility of preparing their children for the responsibilities that God expects of them when they grow into adulthood. Now, the family, we know, is the first institution established when God created the man and the woman. It is the building block and backbone of society. Within the family, the man or the husband was given the responsibility to be the leader or the head of the home. And when you think of a war, in a war, the easiest way to defeat your enemies is by eliminating its military leaders. And if you could do that without leadership, those fighting the battle will be much easier to defeat. And it's the same way with the family. If you were to set out to conquer the world today, the first thing that you would have to destroy would be the family. To do this, you would have to go after the head of the family. If you could cut off the head, it would leave the rest of the family vulnerable and easy to conquer and destroy. And as we look around the world today, it seems that Satan has done a very good job of cutting off the head of the family. Most men today have no idea what it means to be a man or even how to act like one, especially when it comes to the responsibility as the head of the family. God does not call men to live by human wisdom, human ambition, or social expectations. He calls men to live by applying his word to their lives. A worldly man is a self-centered, lazy, and cowardly man whose only concern is gratifying his own sinful desires. Now, everything with the worldly man revolves around what he wants. And this is certainly true in the culture which we live in today, which has blurred the line between the sexes and cast off the responsibility that God has assigned to both. We live in a culture which is confused over what a man and a woman is and the roles that they were created to fulfill. A true man is a man who hears, lives, and applies God's word to their life. A man who is concerned with being the man that God created him to be. A man who can stand by his godly convictions, even if it goes against the norms of society. A man who puts the interest of others above his own, especially his family. When you study the scriptures, we see that man's relationship with God really revolves first and foremost around the family. One of the things which was strongly impressed on the Israelites was the need for the parents to train up their children to obey and worship the Lord. When it comes to training children, the emphasis seems to always be on the father as the one who is responsible for teaching their children to fear and worship the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord God said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." So we see that every generation is to fear the Lord, and every generation is responsible for handing the word of God down to their children. Notice the emphasis is on passing it down to thy sons and thy sons' sons. And it implies it is the man who is responsible for passing it down. Sons is stressed in this passage because the son will grow up to be the head of the household and responsible for passing it down to his son, who in turn will pass it down to his son again. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So as you raise your children, you are to diligently teach God's word to them. Mothers are involved in the teaching process, but the ultimate responsibility falls on the father. Diligently, again, implies making it a priority. You have to put your time and your effort into it. It is one of your greatest responsibilities as a man and a father. You are to find opportunities to teach your children. And there are many ways that this can be done. You don't have to hit them over the head with the Bible. You can talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In order to pass it down, it must first of all be in your heart, the Father's heart, because you yourself should be a man of God, and you cannot pass something down to your children that you yourself do not possess. Psalm 78:5 says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law to Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children." So it is passed down from one father to the next in every generation, so they can continue to pass it down to their children. And if you fail to make it known to the next generation, they will not be able to pass it down to their children, because they will not be able to pass down what they do not know. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So the training of children begins at the time of their birth and continues as they grow and mature into adults. Ephesians 6:4, in other words, the New Testament here speaks of the father's responsibility and the training up of children. And Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And Colossians 3:1 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So it will be the father who makes or breaks his children in the area of practical and spiritual matters, especially when it comes to their sons. There are many ways a father can provoke their children to wrath and discourage them, being overly dominant and abusing in their authority, by being a tyrant whose love is performance-based, by neglecting your children altogether and not putting in any effort at all in building a relationship with them. And one of the areas that God will judge men on, we've talked about the Bema seat, but one of the areas God will judge men on will be how they fulfilled their role as a man, as a husband, and as a father. And for believers, this judgment will come at when they stand before Christ in judgment, when they have their works tested. In other words, you will be rewarded one day, or you will suffer loss in the area of what you were as a man, a husband, and a father. As a father, you are the greatest example of what a man is or should be in the eyes of your children. Your sons will look up to you to help you them to grow into manhood. Your daughter will look to you as an example of what a man, a husband, and a father should be. In other words, the type of man that she should look for when she is grown and searching for a husband. When you look at yourself in the mirror, and I'm talking to the men here, when you look at yourself in the mirror, can you say that you are the type of man you would want your son to be when the time comes for him to take on the responsibilities of a man? Are you the type of man that you want your daughter to grow up and marry? Every father should understand that he must teach his son what it means to be a man. Only a man can teach a boy what it is to be a man. Moms cannot do it. Okay? As a woman, she can teach her daughters what it means to be a woman, but she is not equipped to turn her son into a man. Only a father can understand the inner thoughts, the emotions, the hurts, the struggles, and the trials a boy will experience as they grow and develop into a man. A boy must have a father who can help navigate them or help them navigate their way through the pitfalls and the trials of this life. What a boy needs is a father they can trust, a father they can be completely open and honest with no matter what the subject is, without fear of being ridiculed or belittled or rejected by him. But in order to teach your son to be a man, you must understand what a man is yourself. There are two types of men in this world. There are the worldly man and the godly man. The worldly man uses his power and his authority to control others, to lord it over them, and to make them subservient to him. He is completely self-centered. The godly man uses his power and authority to serve others. He is not interested in controlling others or getting others to serve him. And if you want an example of what a real man is, take time to study the life of Jesus. Okay? Being God, Jesus was the strongest, most powerful man who ever walked the earth. All authority and power belonged to him. And if any man ever deserved to be honored, worshipped, and served, it was Jesus. Yet Jesus did not use his power and authority for personal gain or to rule over others. He used it to serve others. He put the needs of others first over his own. So he used his power to heal and not to harm, to build others up, not to cut them down, to love others and not to hate them. Jesus never used his power to take revenge or make others suffer, even when he was ridiculed, humiliated, falsely accused, hated and despised, and even when he was physically beaten and tortured, he never lifted a finger to lash back at his abusers. And if anyone had the power to make you suffer, it would have been Jesus, because all he had to do is speak, and it was done. Matthew 20:25, Jesus called them together and said, speaking to his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Now, although men are not God, they have been given authority and positions of power both within their families and in society, and they are to use this authority to serve and not to lord it over others. In a family, being the head does not make the man lord over his home. You are not lord over your wife, and you're not lord over your children. But what it does make him, it makes him a servant to all that are in his homes. You are your wife's servant. You are your children's servant. You are there to serve. So what are some of the things, and I'm really focusing on boys today because I think that's important for fathers. What are some of the things that you can do to help your son become the man that God wants him to become? In Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." So this is the type of man that you should be in your marriage. This is the type of man you should want your son to be. Okay? One who is willing to lay down his life for his wife. He should treat his wife as a queen. You teach your son how he is to one day love his wife by your example in how you treat his mother in both your actions and your speech. See, a man should treat all women with dignity and respect. Teach your son what it is to be a man by teaching him how a man should treat a woman. Okay? Teach them that that women are human beings worthy of respect and not just an object to lust over or take advantage of. Teach your son's manners and how to be a gentleman. Manners show respect for others. Teach him how to be polite when he addresses and how he addresses and treats others. People respond positively to those who have manners. Children who have manners earn the respect of others. There are many areas where manners can be taught. Teach your son to open the door for his mother and his sisters. Teach him table manners. Teach him not to wear his hat indoors. Okay? Tell him he should remove his hat when he's praying or in any situation that would require it. And you know, today this is a lost art, and this may sound silly to many today, but it is a way to teach your son to show respect. Teach him how to dress properly and to have good personal hygiene. Tell him the proper way to act, or teach him the proper way to act when he's out in public. You know, explain to him how unruly public behavior not only makes him look bad, it makes the whole family look bad. including mom and dad. A son's behavior will either bring his family honor or it'll bring him shame. Teach your son how to be respectful, especially to those in his own family. Any type of disrespect toward his mother or any of his siblings needs to be dealt with immediately. Teach him that being disrespectful brings severe consequences. If a child does not learn to respect those in his own family, I doubt that he'll ever respect anyone outside of his family. Teach your son to be courageous, standing up for his convictions and what is right, to stand up to adversity, even if it means he may suffer for doing so. When he becomes a man and has his own families, he will need courage to always do the right thing. The world constantly pressures men to compromise their values in order to do things the easy way, to go along with the norms of society, even if it's wrong. A man who lacks courage and conviction leaves his family wide open to be preyed upon by those who prey on the weak. Teach your son to be compassionate toward others. Compassion is always sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. Compassion extends mercy to others. Compassion will reach out to help others even if what they are suffering from is self-inflicted. See, compassion seeks to alleviate suffering, not add to it. Teach your son to be self-disciplined. Self-discipline refuses to act in a way that is contrary to how it should act. Self-discipline will keep a man from doing and getting involved in things which are destructive and harmful to himself and to others around him. Your son learns self-discipline by holding him accountable for his actions and his behavior. Reward his good behavior and allow him to suffer loss for his bad behavior. Teach him about honesty. The dictionary's definition of honesty includes these characteristic traits: being free from deception, truthful, genuine, real, reputable, credible, marked by integrity, frank, upright, just, conscientious, honorable. I mean, these are characteristics every father should desire to see in their son. We live in a world which seems to reward lying and that punishes the truth. A world where people are unwilling to admit that they have done anything wrong, where covering up for one's failures or mistakes is the norm, where a person's actions and behaviors always seem to be blamed on someone else. It's always someone else's fault. No one's ever accountable anymore. What your son needs to know is that no one's perfect. Okay? And when we fail, we should own up to our own failures. Being honest might make you feel temporarily uncomfortable. It's not easy to be honest. And it might make you look bad, but it will bring about positive results in the end. A person who is willing to own up to his shortcomings gains the respect and trust of others because of his honesty. Teach your son humility. A person who is humble has an honest evaluation of his own strengths and weaknesses. A person who is humble doesn't seek to exalt himself in the eyes of others or treat others as if they are beneath him or them. A proud person has an inflated and an unrealistic view of themselves. They have to exalt themselves above or look down at others in order to have some sense of personal significance or value. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." The other thing is teach your son to respect authority. unfortunately, due to our sin nature, we really are born despising authority. We really have a hard time submitting to it. We don't like to be told what we can and cannot do. We are selfish creatures who do everything they can to get their own way. And your son is no different. He needs to learn that God has laws and rules that we are to live by, and that there are severe consequences for those who choose not to submit to his authority. God has established different areas of authority in this world, and one of these is parental authority that children are to submit to and obey. If your son cannot submit to the authority of his father, chances are he will not have any respect for any authority outside the home. Teach your son how to work. Give him chores and responsibilities that he is capable of doing according to his age. If he does not learn to take on responsibility when he's young, chances are he will not take on a responsibility as an adult. And there are a lot of lazy men today that are lazy because their parents never taught them how to work. Your child will whine and moan. I know I did. I hated work. But I always did it, and I thank God that they made me do it, because it taught me what? Taught me to have a good work ethic. But there are a lot of kids today, they turn 18, 19, 20, 30 years old, and they still have to be bailed out by their parents all the time because they can't keep a job down. They don't want to work. They're lazy. The other thing is help your son discover his gifts and talents. Help him discover what he's good at and what he's not good at. And remember, your son isn't you. You can't live your glory days through him. Okay? My dream was to have my sons grow up to be baseball players and become millionaires and build my wife and I a mansion on a hill. But that did not happen. But they are very talented. And my daughter's talented. They are all talented in different ways. And your job is to not turn them into little yous, but help them discover what they're good at and what they're not. Help your son to learn endurance. Help him not to be a quitter when things get too difficult. Life is hard. You will find yourself walking up against the wall a lot. And if you don't have endurance, if you don't have patience, if you don't have courage, you'll be a quitter. So help him deal with failure and frustrations. We all fail. And many times we are frustrated. But help him to deal with that. Teach him that when he fails, he needs to pull himself up, like they say, up by his bootstraps and try again. There's nothing wrong with failing. You just need to get back up and try again. But if you fail and you lay there, then there's something wrong. See, everybody fails, but the difference between those who accomplish something and those who don't are the ones that don't let failure stop them. Teach him to be self-controlled when it comes to his feelings, emotions, and his body. It is important for him to learn to control his emotions and not to let his emotions control him. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul said, "Casting down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So one of the areas that men struggle in, most of them do, is in the area of anger. It's probably our makeup, the way God designed us. They allow anger to control them, to control their minds, and they have a tendency to react before they think. They strike. This usually does not bode well for the man who is angry or those who are the object of his wrath. We are told to be angry and sin not. See, anger that leads to sin is very destructive. Teach your sons to control his anger and not let his anger control him, along with all of his other emotions. One of the things that all children need to learn, especially teenagers, because they're on such an emotional roller coaster, is life is never as good as you think, and it's never as bad as you think. You have to learn somehow to stay here, and that's controlling your emotions. Another area where a man needs to be self-controlled, and this is a tough subject most people get embarrassed of when you talk, but another area where a man needs to be self-controlled is in the area of sex. It's very important for a father to discuss the subject of sex with his son. It is something every father should do right before their son reaches puberty. Before they do, not after they do. It should be well thought out and planned ahead of time how he's going to do it. It should be a time where the father and son can talk man to man with no one else around. Let your son know the changes which will be occurring in his body and the struggles that he may entail due to all these hormonal changes going on. Teach your son, the most important thing is teach your son what God designed sex for and how sex is to be between one man and one woman in the context of marriage. Encourage him at that time to make a commitment to remain sexually pure until he finds his wife. Don't leave your child's sex education in the hands of your local school district. A lot of parents say, he'll learn about sex at school. Well, I don't know. I mean, your school cannot even tell your children that there are only two biological sexes right now, and that what you are born with determines your sex. And if you leave it up to them, your son might come home one day believing he's a woman born in a man's body. So I think that you better do that. Don't leave it up to anybody else, and don't leave it up to his friends. The other thing is spend time with your son. You know, every son and daughter too, but we're talking about sons. Every son longs to be around his father. I mean, dad is Superman. Dad can do no wrong, even though we know he can, right? But in his eyes, he can't. And he longs to have that relationship with his father. And you never outgrow that. Doesn't matter how old you get. If you could be my age and your father's still alive, you would long to be around your father. And there was always something about being around dad. Like Nancy used to say, whenever she saw me get around my dad, I acted like a kid, didn't matter how old I was. But it's almost like when you're around your father, the burden lifts off you. It's his problem, not yours. So there's this special relationship that needs to be built between the father and son. You need to bond with your son. Let your son know that you love him. For so many generations, it seemed like for a man to say I love you was a bad thing and it made him act like a woman or something. I have no idea. But for generation after generation, a man could not say these few simple words, son, I love you. Or your daughter, I love you. Okay? Show affection. It's manly to show affection. Jesus showed affection. We just talked about him. He was the most powerful man in the world, wasn't he? Well, I guess if he can show affection, I guess there's no reason why we can't. It's not unmanly to show affection toward our children. Give them a hug. Put your arms around them. Pat them on the back. Give them a kiss. There's nothing wrong with a man showing affection toward his children, and that includes his sons. Now, the most important thing, there's a lot of other things, but I had to shorten it down, okay, because I didn't want to keep you all day, and I'm going on vacation. It's not a selfish reason. I was just thinking of you, okay? The most important thing you can do for your son is pray for him. Prayer is the most powerful thing. Ask God to place a protective hedge around him and pray for him every day. Don't skip a day. Pray for all your children, but pray for your son. To ask God to give him the strength to resist temptations which will come his way. Pray that God will make your son into a godly man, the man that God wants him to be. And pray for yourself that God will give you the wisdom to mold and shape your son into the man that God does want him to be. Because we are not perfect fathers, and we make a lot of mistakes. And we need God's wisdom in order to be able to help raise our sons. Pray that God would give you the humility to own up to your own failure when you let your son down or treat him unfairly. There's one secret that I want to let you know. As parents, your children aren't stupid. And if you act like you never make any mistakes and you're always right and you can't admit to your son or your daughter that you're wrong, then you know what you are? Stupid. Because they're not. And there's nothing wrong with a man telling his son or his daughter, look, the way I just treated you and or the way I just responded to you wasn't right. Will you forgive me? And you think that, well, this is lowering yourself down. Well, you're not lowering yourself down in your children's eyes. You're actually lifting yourself up because they will respect you more for admitting that you were wrong than they will if you don't. Because, see, they already know you're wrong. And if you won't admit it, they lose their respect for you right there. Pray that when you do fail, and every father does, that your son will find it in his heart to forgive you. And you know what about, there's something about children, they are so forgiving, aren't they? They are. I mean, they're more forgiving than we are.
You just offended me. I'm never talking to you again.
And with a child, even if you're wrong and you're dealing with them and you ask them to forgive you, it's done. It's gone. They don't even remember it. And so, you know, pray that God will allow your children to always be forgiving to you, even no matter how old they get. Now, every boy longs to be affirmed by his father, okay? He wants to know whether he measures up as a man in his father's eyes. This is so important. If you're a father, help your son to be a man and help him recognize him. Let him know that you recognize him as a man. For the son who never received his father's blessings as a man, it always has an adverse effect on them for the rest of their life. They may not admit it, and it doesn't matter how old they get. If they didn't have a good relationship with their father, they struggle just about everything in life. And fortunately, for men who grow up not having a good relationship with their father, we can find the greatest father in heaven, okay? The other thing is if you didn't have a father or if you didn't have a very good father, don't use that as an excuse to be a bad father yourself, because there is a pattern. God the Father is the perfect father, and if you want to learn how to be a father, study the scriptures and be like God, okay? So tell your son that, you know, he's a man. Otherwise, he will struggle. Because I will tell you myself, you know, I lost my father 2 years ago. I lost my stepfather last year. And I miss him. You know, because you never outgrow it. You never outgrow. You always look back, and you'll always miss your parents. Father, we just thank you for this time we could look into your word. And Father, we are not perfect. We've sinned. We've fallen short of your glory. But we also know from your word, Father, you help us to understand what it needs to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a child. So help us, especially those who are still raising young children, just give them the wisdom and the ability to love their children and to guide their children and help them to bring them to you. Help them to understand that you are the one that we stand accountable to in the end. So give us wisdom and help us as parents too to understand that we're not perfect, especially fathers. We make mistakes, we fail, we fumble, we fall down, we do all things. But yet we know that by your grace that we can be forgiven for those things, and that no matter what we do, we always have that opportunity to make that relationship right, especially between a father and a son. And I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.